This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Combination days off to create some four-day weekends for herself. Can't blame her for that, for sure. Tomorrow we are up on the street, so we're actually out where you can see us, feel us, touch us, talk to us, sample us right there face-to-face, 814 Elm Street in front of the Beacon Building. The Beacon Building is actually our home every day, but we are down one level in this beautiful showcase studio that some have referred to as a fishbowl, which I guess in a way it is. But it totally looks like a kitchen. It's not a functioning one, but it's a great place to do a food show. Anyway, we're out on the street, and Michael Hopley-Pierce from the Tap Handle Show, and who's with us every other Thursday, our beer guy, will be co-host. So it'll be more than just about beer, but we'll certainly sneak some of that in. I mean, it is the summertime, and a cold brew and a barbecue deal is definitely a good way to go when you can. Our show, Food for Thought, brought to you by, talking about some great barbecue, KC's Rib Shack, famous hickory-smoked, award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue, 837 2nd Street in Manchester, and online at ribshack.net. I love Kevin Cornish, and we do need to get him back here. July is typically his busiest month, so I'm kind of leaving him alone, but once we get into a little cooler weather, we'll get to Kevin back on the air because he's very entertaining. Also, Grasshopper's Garden Center, where the customer comes first, 728 North River Road in New Boston, online, grasshoppersgardencenter.com. People that make the show possible, and the other people that make it possible are our fantastic guests like Linda Thompson-Ditch from Kansas, former resident here of the Granite State. She now lives in the breadbasket of America, and she has a little different take and more of a Midwestern, I guess, view on some things now. But you can't take the Granite State out of her. Is that true, Linda Thompson-Ditch?
Absolutely. You can never. I get homesick for there very often, believe me, especially when it's 97 degrees here with a heat index of about 118. Yeah, I want to move back.
you know, we've had maybe three or four 90-degree days since the 1st of June. May here in New Hampshire was very hot. Then June started out almost like April. And we had, I'm not even sure if it was an official heat wave, we had two and maybe three 90-degree days. And today we're back to a very low humidity, probably 85, and it is so pleasant. So you're 97 in Kansas?
Well, today's a little cooler. I think it's in the upper 80s. So it was last week. There was a day that the dew point was in the 80s. So the humidity was outrageous. It was unbearable out. You couldn't go outside. You know, it was like in the middle of winter in New Hampshire when you can't get out in the snow.
Sure.
Here you couldn't get out because it was just unbearable out there. So.
I'm not even sure that I've ever experienced 80-degree dew points, which is an indication of how much moisture there is in the air. I mean, once you get past, say, the mid-60s, it starts to get a little uncomfortable and certainly not conducive for a good hair day.
Well, 70s dew points are not unusual in the summer here, but 80s is a little extreme for even the hardcore ones out here. It's a little on the extreme side, but it's all good. We'll get by, and we drink plenty of beer to help out, right?
Well, there's always plenty of beer in New Hampshire as well, as you may have heard our last segment. And as
you
I was...
Yesterday, I actually had a gentleman tell me that beer did not go well with food. And I'm like, are you kidding?
Well, he's drinking the wrong beer for starters, probably.
Evidently. I'm like, he's like, oh, no, beer tastes better if you're not drinking it while you're eating. And I'm like, seriously. I'm like, no. Beer can be just like wine. The food that you're eating with it can make the beer taste even better, and the beer can make the food taste even better. You know, and I have to try and convince him of that. I don't know if I sold him on it or not, but I tried.
Yeah, as much as I like wine, I think there's probably a lot more flavor variations in beer because of all the interesting ingredients that you would never think of adding to wine are available.
Oh, exactly. And you can, there is a beer. I went to a beer dinner a few years ago, and there is a type of beer to match just about any course of a meal that you want, including dessert. I had It was a chocolate cake with some vanilla ice cream, and they served it with a Guinness. And I've heard of making Guinness floats, where you put vanilla ice cream in the Guinness, mm-hmm. and it's Guinness goes really well with anything chocolatey and vanilla. So beer can go with anything.
All right, what's your first choice, beer or wine, or none of the above?
Depends on what I'm eating.
Oh, okay. So you like to, do you consciously pair your meals if you are going to have an alcoholic beverage with it? Do you really put some thought into that?
Absolutely. I will, usually with burgers and barbecue, sandwiches, those kind of things, I want beer. With Mexican food, I tend to want beer. With other types of dishes, steaks or roast or roasted chicken, things like that, I want wine. And then cocktails, I think cocktails is kind of the standalone drink. I tend to drink a cocktail not with food. I use it like, I think for what it was intended, that drink before you eat the meal. So that's why, if I'm drinking just a drink, I tend to have cocktails.
You know what I've taken to doing over the last couple of years, and I'm kind of keeping on this theme because I was looking at There and Back Again online, your blog and website, and you actually talked about various cocktail concoctions. But what I've done, and this may be once a week or a couple times a month, is before bedtime have a nice cordial to just kind of wrap up the day. Do you ever do that?
Oh, absolutely. I like to make a cup of tea, some decaffeinated tea, and then pour a little brandy or something in it at night just to help relax. I enjoy that very much. So, absolutely. I mean, they say you shouldn't drink alcohol before you go to sleep because supposedly it's supposed to keep you from sleeping well. But I don't see that a little bit hurts.
No, I mean, is there really, cocktail police out there saying, nope, going to bed in 2 hours, you may not have that that cordial with tea. No. I think it...
I think the point is they don't want you to trying to drink so much you pass out is not going to help you rest. You're just passed out. Different thing.
No, you know what? And I have found that to be the case, that if I do have a little bit more than I really wanted to a few hours before bedtime, I'll conk right out, but then I'll wake up at 2 o'clock and say, oh, time to go. So there is some truth to that.
Exactly. Sometimes you wake up and go, oh, time to go, and you shouldn't definitely be driving because you're still not sober. It's kind of scary.
Exactly.
Those are old days. We don't do that now, though, right? We're too mature to do that now.
We are so-called responsible adults, I hope. That's for sure. Yes. Well, so let's talk a little bit about your content, There and Back Again. People can find you online, stay in touch with you that may have known you here locally. And so you had something, Mystery Cuisine, Sunset Boulevard Cocktail. Am I up to date on what you're doing on your website?
That went right up this morning. That's the first one. I've been a fan. I like to read cozy mysteries, those nice little mysteries where, somebody dies, but it's not so gruesome. You can't turn out the lights after you get done reading.
Right.
And these are series where, it's usually a series. You visit with the same people every time you pick up the next edition, and they're just fun. They're fun, nice reads that you can lose yourself in at the end of the day. But a lot of them nowadays have recipes in them, and so I read them and I copy the recipes out and I save them in a file folder until I get a chance to make them. And today's blog post is one of those recipes. It's the Sunset Boulevard cocktail, and it comes from author Krista Davis. She writes what's called the Domestic Diva series, the series of books. The main characters are, write columns to help people, plan parties and, cook dishes and just basically all those kind of like Martha Stewart, but a little more accessible kind of person. So, she's always this person too that always seems to have all the stuff in the pantry or in the refrigerator so that when people just drop in, she can whip up a cocktail, whip up a meal, and I just want to be her. I like to cook and everything, but I'm just not that flexible, and I just want to be her. And this was a cocktail from a book for, few editions back that I saved, and I thought, it's perfect for summer.
Well, before we... Yeah, before we get to you actually telling us what it is, I want to back up. You say you want to be her. This is the Domestic Diva series. You mentioned the Diva Steals, A Chocolate Kiss. So these books, would they be considered the fantasy genre? Or why couldn't you write a book like that and incorporate your extensive culinary knowledge into it?
Well, I mean, I want to be that particular character in her ability to at the drop of a hat, be able to cook for people. You know, I have people drop by and I'm like, okay, I don't have it. You know, I have all these ingredients, but nothing that will make a dish real quick for people. So cheese and crackers, you know, is usually what they get. So, you know, but she always seems to have something that she can just whip up. Now, as far as writing a book with recipes, someday I would like to write these are mysteries. So, you know, somebody dies, somebody has to figure out who killed them, that kind of thing. And I would like to write a book like these at some point, and I actually have an idea for one that I'm mapping out for future reference. But right now, I'm currently working on my memoir, The Picky Eater's Kitchen, based on my life with my late husband and how he didn't like food and I do like food and how we tried to fit those two together.
Yeah, and I think that is that's a tremendous premise for a book, and I'm trying to think of a title as you describe it. 50 Shades of Beef Wellington. What do you think?
Yeah, something like that, right? I don't know that I want to tie into the 50 Shades thing. I think giving people some of the wrong idea.
Yeah. All right. So these are mysteries where people get killed. How is that worse than sex? How's that better than sex?
Yeah, no. These are very light and fluffy. Yeah, there's sex, but it's implied, and the dead body might have some blood coming out of it, but it's never described too gruesome. These books are more about, yes, there's a mystery. Yes, you want to solve the plot, but they're more about the main characters and their lives and what's going on with them and the other people they interact with on a daily basis. In like I said, in this book, the main character lives in Old Town Alexandria, Virginia, and you know, in an old house, a historic house. The house was actually one that was hers and her ex-husband's, and she got it in the divorce. And now her ex-husband lives with her biggest competitor just down the street, but he's still friends with her. And it's all about the interaction between the people in the book, and the mystery and the murders thrown in there just to give them a reason to interact,
Well, this is new to me. I mean, I don't read, I don't know if I should even call it chick lit, if that's demeaning, but I mean, for lack of a better genre description, we'll call it that. And I wasn't aware that these books, as you described them, the Domestic Diva series has recipes in them, which would make sense for part of the story that you can actually use. So I love that idea, and it makes me start thinking, oh, what can I write that would be kind of fun?
Well, and it's funny because the Hallmark Movies and Mysteries channel is actually doing movies, not from this particular series, but there are a number of cozy mysteries out there, a lot of them with recipes. Some have knitting patterns. There's one series that's from a coffee shop in Greenwich Village in New York City. You know, they're all set in different places. Some are remodeling ones. But the Hallmark Movies and Mysteries channel is actually making movies out of some of the more popular ones. For that network. You got to think Agatha Christie with a recipe, and I think you've probably got a good idea of what these books are like.
Love it. Well, I kind of sidetracked you here because I wanted to dig in more as to what this whole vibe was about. The Sunset Boulevard cocktail it looks on paper to taste really good. So give us a little hint on how to make it.
Well, it's fun. You put an ounce of peach schnapps, an ounce of vodka, and 3 ounces of cranberry juice in a tall glass with some ice. And then you very slowly pour 1 ounce of orange juice in. And when you're pouring that orange juice in, it swirls around in the rest of the cocktail and gives kind of a sunset effect. You know, when you're looking at a sunset and you've got the pinks and reds and oranges and yellows along in the horizon, well, that's kind of the effect you get when you slowly pour in that orange juice. Unfortunately, that's an effect that's hard to photograph, so I don't know if it showed up very well in the drink. You can see a little orange and everything in the pictures, but and of course, there was no sunset for me to be able to photograph when I took these pictures because it was a cloudy day, but like I said, with this cocktail, you don't need the sunset if you've got sunset in a glass. So, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much. It's nice. You've got a little bit hint of the peach. You know, the vodka's back there to give it a little kick. And then, you know, with the cranberry, and then you get hit with the cranberry and peach kind of flavors at first. And then the orange kind of sneaks in. And you're like, oh, wait, there's the orange. You know, so cool. It's nice. It's a nice summer drink.
Schnapps is always a fun ingredient in any drink. I remember this is going back way when I was probably in my 20s. We had bought a bottle of peppermint schnapps.
Uh-huh.
And as we were bringing it into the house, we dropped it on the garage floor, and the garage smelled like peppermint schnapps for months after that.
Yeah, peppermint schnapps is definitely flavor and aroma, and its alcohol power definitely has pretty good kick to it. So.
Mm.
It was one of those early drinks, you know, in your early college days when you start drinking. Sometimes, you know, it seems like everybody has a bottle of peppermint schnapps somewhere, and you take a sip and it clears out your sinuses.
Well, you know, it's funny. You have vodka as one of the ingredients in your Sunset Boulevard cocktail. It's amazing all the variations of vodkas that you can find today, from grapefruit to blueberry to, well, you name it. It's out there.
And what's fun with cocktails, like this cocktail, you know, by all means, grab a cranberry vodka and try it with that. Or grab a peach vodka. They make peach ones now, too. I mean, you know, that's the fun thing with a cocktail. You get your basic cocktail recipe, and you just play with it and see what it comes up with. I recently, as soon as it runs in the paper, I'm going to put it in the blog. I recently wrote a newspaper article about agua fresca, which is the Mexican beverage you make out of fresh fruit. You puree the fresh fruit and add some sugar and water, strain it, and you've got a great summer drink, you know, fruit juice that you've made yourself pretty much. And as I was working on it, I came up with a cantaloupe gin and tonic. And it is so good. Because all I did was add gin and tonic to the cantaloupe agua fresca I made, and bada bing, I had a summer cocktail that was just refreshing, cantaloupe-y, but with a little bit of gin and tonic going with it. So that's the great thing about cocktails. You can play around with them, change things up, change a little bit what you put in there, and it's hard to mess them up.
Well, you know, it's a nice departure, you know, because we generally talk more, you know, strictly food, but... You know, you can't avoid pairing the food you love with the drinks that you like as well. So I appreciate today's segment, and we'll talk again next week. In the meantime, where can people reach out to find you, Linda?
My blog is at thereandbackagainfood.com. So all you have to do is type that in, and you'll get it. So, and yeah, I do a lot of cocktails in the summer because to me, summertime is cocktail time. But yeah, there's lots of other food recipes on there too. So.
Well, you know, I also found that February is cocktail time, too, just saying.
Oh, yes, in the middle of winter. Well, yeah, those are the nice warming cocktails to try and ward off spring. Yeah, I have to, there's a peppermint kiss beverage that I'm hoping to put up in the cooler months that I love to drink in the wintertime. So we'll have to share that come February.
We will indeed. Linda Thompson-Ditch, our blogger and friend from Kansas. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Linda. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Mike. Take it easy.
See ya. It is 1:26. Just ahead, Chef Patrick Hall is in the house, and I have no idea what we're talking about today. He always surprises me with the things that are interesting. We can always learn, and oh, by the way, always tasty. As Food for Thought continues, 107.7 WTPL The Pulse. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
It is 1:30. We're into our final few moments of Food for Thought. Carol Lawrence is away today and tomorrow, enjoying a nice four-day week. And I think today she was going to one of those water parks to enjoy some cool splashing with, I think, her grandkids. So, oops, let me give you another. Oh, we got a dead microphone. Move on over to the red one. I have no idea why that's doing that.
That one.
Wait a minute here. Try it again.
Hello?
Okay.
There we are.
All right, so you are now red instead of blue. We'll figure out the problem with Mr. Blue.
That's it. I'm easy.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, you know, when you work in the culinary business, you have to be ready to turn on a dime.
That's it, you know.
No matter what. You burn something. All right, now what am I going to use instead?
I got cat-like reflexes, you know. So
I'm sure you do.
Like I said, you know. So.
As I was saying, Mama McDonough's Irish Pub is one of our sponsors. They're at 5 Depot Street in Hillsboro. Come find your Irish side. And another quick reminder, Bryce Strong Family Day and Benefit is coming up on Saturday, August 1st in downtown Concord at Eagle Square Park with all kinds of family entertainment, including wildlife encounters at noon and 3. The kids love to see the animals. In many cases, they can touch them, pet them. There will be a bouncy house, a dunk tank, face painting, music, food, and a whole lot more. There is no charge to enjoy this day, but a suggested donation of $15 per person or $40 per family at Eagle Square Deli will be much appreciated. This is a young boy who at age 10 found that he was afflicted with Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is just horrible. And it's one of those things you just don't see it coming typically, and then suddenly you have it, and then you've got these huge bills. So if you can help out, it's at Eagle Square Park, 1 Eagle Square in Concord. The event is free, but a donation would be much appreciated on August 1st, 11 to 4 at Eagle Square Park.
I'll have to make my way down. That's, yeah. That's,
yeah. It's, you like to help
horrible,
out
you know,
once
yeah.
in a while. I mean, you've got kids who, you know, God forbid you
oh,
ever
yeah. Yeah.
have to deal with anything.
Think about it all the time, you know, so, and I feel, you know, feel
yeah.
bad. And we, and everybody knows someone that's, you yes. know, that has been touched with something like that, you know, with a horrible disease or something. And, you know, mm-hmm. you feel bad. So
that's what's really interesting. Our weekly Make-A-Wish segment, Make-A-Wish New Hampshire, where their headquarters for the state right upstairs.
Yeah.
And Julie Barron will come down, or one of the people she sends, and we just get so many great stories of kids that have life-threatening diseases and the way that they're given some joy and happiness,
yeah.
which you know, and their family as well. And then a lot of the kids do survive whatever the catastrophic illness is, and then they end up being a part of, you know, giving back because
yep.
they know what it's like to be a kid.
That's yeah, it's such a great program, and I watch, you know, on TV, and you see some mm-hmm. of these programs and some of the things that they do, and it's just amazing. You know, I saw one a while back where this young kid was his dream was to be part of the WWE, and he went out mm-hmm. and they put on a huge show for him. It was crazy. So yeah, it was excellent.
Exactly. Basically, your imagination is the only limitation that you
oh, yeah.
have.
He was right in the ring with the wrestlers,
yeah.
and he was probably about like 3 or 4 years old or whatever. And like
really?
One of the wrestlers, he let him slap him, and the guy falls down, and he pins him and everything. And it was like, I'm laughing.
You mean
at
that
it.
Wasn't real?
No, I thought the kid's strong. I don't know, you know. So
this is Chef Patrick Gall, who joins us every Thursday at this time. He's the program director or coordinator at Lakes Region Community College, Shaker Village, Canterbury. And, you know, I've only been there a couple times eating at the Shaker Table. Is that what it's called?
Yep, Shaker Table.
Is lunch still, they still do lunch?
Yeah, we'll start the lunch portion up in probably October. What we do is we get a new group of students in,
yeah.
you know, the first part of the year. And so those students have to get acclimated into cooking and learning about, you know, the different pieces of equipment and stuff that are inside there. So we give them a few weeks to get in there, you know, usually probably really like 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, have safety and learn some basics. And then we open up to the public for the first part of the year. We'll go till December, and we do a full course menu, super salad, entree, dessert for a total whopping of $9. You
yeah,
know,
well, so. I was there maybe 6, 7, maybe 8 years ago for lunch. Were you part of the program then?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So
yeah.
So I was eating the food from the students.
Yeah, yeah.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, it's good. It's a great deal. We
yeah.
get to serve the community, and the students get to show their talents and you know, and what they're learning and stuff like that. And you know, it's a win-win situation. They get real life experience, you know, which is
yeah.
important.
There's a few vocational high schools locally. I'm sure you're aware of that.
Oh, yeah.
There's Checkers in Hudson. I can't think of the school, but
yep.
it'll come to me. I think Milford High.
Milford, yeah. I work with all those.
Oh,
high,
do you really?
And yeah, then, MST here.
And North and Nashua High
yep,
as well.
Yep, Nashua North as well.
Yes.
So, yeah. So we work with all of them. And we, you know, we do Running Start and all sorts of stuff.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's pretty good.
Well, we've been talking the last couple of weeks about cheese and making cheese. And I profess to you that I will be entering probably the Grand Estate Dairy Promotions Mac and Cheese Contest.
Yeah.
Coming up usually in January. And I kind of want to enter the locally sourced category this year. And when I thought about doing that a couple of years ago, and I didn't do it because I all I could find was pretty much goat cheese farms and producers, which I'm sure there's good recipes for mac and cheese, or maybe not. I don't know. So now that I know that that you can possibly provide me with some cheese from your students, I'm thinking hard about this.
Yeah, well, it's you know, the cheese, and I brought some today. The cheese that we make, we just do a basic. We start off with a basic class of some local soft cheeses. You know, mm-hmm. so we'll do ricotta cheese. We'll do some buffalo mozzarella cheese, which is some fresh cheese, and then we started doing some cheddar cheese. So. So excuse me, I got a little cold going on here.
Oh, sorry.
So we started doing some cheddar cheeses and stuff like that. So, you know, so we're relatively new in it. So this, you know, the, what I bought right here is about a 9 month age cheddar, that we took a shot at, you know, mm-hmm. so of course this is made by students. So there's mistakes that happen. So I've already tasted this and I'll let you taste what's wrong with it. But, the process of making cheese. And like I said, as far as what we do, we'll go mm-hmm. down to our local farm, down the road. And we get unpasteurized milk, so which is really the key to making cheese. So you get the unpasteurized milk because it still has the bacteria that are inside there. So if you don't have that, you have to go to the store. What you get is you get pasteurized milk. So what happens is all the bacteria are taken out of mm-hmm. the cheeses. So generally when you want to get fresh milk, you want to get it straight from the tap, you know, as you would say,
yes.
from the cows. Because it still has that, bacteria. And so you take the milk and what you add to it, and I brought some here, is
you've got a bunch of little tubes. You've got about seven or eight, little tubes, and what's it, of different colors?
Different colors. Most of them are, the same color. All pretty much the same thing. Some of them are different, just additives that we add to cheeses. And this one, what we have right here is called Animal Rennet. Okay. Which is the stomach acid from
never heard of
from
it.
A cow. Yeah.
Okay.
Stomach acid. But then, you know, but we also want to provide a vegetarian option. So they have a vegetarian rennet, which is added mm-hmm. to the cheese. And so what you have is you take this cheese and you heat it to about 90 degrees because you want it to have that warmth to curdle that milk.
Right.
So so what we do is we add the animal rennet to the unpasteurized milk. And what it does is it forms a cheese curd. You know, so I'm sure everybody's heard the story of Little Miss Muffet sat in her tuffet eating her curds and whey.
What
was she
eating?
She was eating cottage cheese. You know, so it's one of those things. So you add the
rennet. So cottage cheese is curds?
Yeah, it's curds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Small curd, large curds, duh.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah, different curds.
Yeah.
And so those curds are what we want to collect mm-hmm. because what we do is we strain it through cheesecloth.
Yes.
And once you strain it through the cheesecloth, well, you put this in a big pot to begin with, and you heat it up to mm-hmm. about 90 degrees, and then you add the rennet, and that will curdle, you know, will make the cheese hard, like will make it like I want to say like tofu consistency, but probably like a soft tofu. And then what you do is you take a sharp knife and you cut it, and you cut little curds, and then you mm-hmm. drain it. So when you drain it off, what's left is called the whey. Okay, it's all the liquid from there, and you've taken all like the solids. Now what we do is you take and you drain that for a little bit and let it sit for a while. And if you did it right away, and there's different ways to do different cheeses, but you let it drain for a while, you separate it from the whey. You can save the whey for baking, or you can make yogurt out of it by adding another, you know, just different culture mm-hmm. to it. And then you take that the cheese curd. All right. And what we do is we hang it for a little while, and then we put them in presses. So you can notice like some of this, these cheeses right here mm-hmm. that I bought. And I know people can't see, but it's actually like a round wheel.
It is. Yeah. It's got a rounded contour to it.
So,
sure.
There's different presses. You can get some of our square, some are rounds. You
I can do this at home, right?
Oh, very easily. Yeah. Right. And if you go online, you could find some of these cheese presses, and they're relatively inexpensive, like $80.
All right. So I want to back up here because a few days ago we had a discussion with Una Williams, who is a nationally known expert on not only gluten-free diets, but also lactose-free.
Yep.
And what became apparent to me here about a month or so ago is I picked up a block of Cabot cheddar, and it said contains no lactose.
No lactose, yeah.
And so my nephew was visiting from Michigan. He's had issues for about 3 years, yep. and I showed him, and he tried it, and it made his day. Here's a 17-year-old kid that should be thrilled with, you know, a car or this or that. He can now eat cheese again. And so I asked Una about that, and it's the lack of whey in a cheese product that is essentially the your key to be able to eat it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm not too familiar with that, you know. So I like my cheese, you know. So, yeah. I know several people who are lactose intolerant. I just thought it was a matter of taking a pill and you're all set. You know,
that's kind of it doesn't work well for everybody. But I think if you don't see whey on the list of ingredients, and it's a hard cheese. Now this doesn't apply to soft cheese.
Yeah.
But hard cheeses, which is most of what we have, you should be good to go.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. It's awesome. It's awesome news for
Ed. We could just make it, keep eating cheese, you know?
That's so, it. Sure.
But then you go through an aging process once you do this.
Okay.
You season it a little bit. You try to use kosher salt because kosher salt doesn't have iodine in it and things like
Got
that.
It.
So,
yeah.
So we season it. Mm-hmm. And then, so this cheese has been aged almost a year. I want to say it's 11 months.
Typical if I'm going to pick up a block of, you know, XYZ commercial cheese at the store? Yep. Is that about how long it's going to be aged?
Some of them have been aged probably like 6 months or 7 months,
All right.
The longer ages, the sharpness.
Yes.
So if you get extra sharp cheddar, like this is cheddar. What we did is a farmhouse cheddar. I also did a batch of Gouda, and then I also did a batch of Gouda and then Parmesan cheese or in feta too. You know, so
right.
So we cover a bunch of different ones, but so this cheese right here, like I said, has been aging. So the key is to either cover that with wax. Once you press it overnight. So you put in these presses and literally put about 25 pounds of pressure onto it till it condenses down into here. So you go from having this product that's like ricotta cheese, and you squeeze all the water out of it and press it, and now it comes out like this.
Cool.
And you let it dry on for a little while, and then you're supposed to cryovac these. Or you put wax on it.
So cryovac, is it okay to be at room temperature?
No, generally what you want to do when you take this cheese and you want to age it, you want to get yourself, like if you're at home, get one of those old wine refrigerators that they have.
Yes.
Because that keeps the temperature around 50 degrees.
Right, and that's where it should be.
And that's where it should do. Other people will put this, it is okay to keep it room temperature, by the way, but also people build their own cheese caves. So
cheese caves.
So it sees.
All right, we have to. With that, we got to take a break because now I got to Google cheese caves.
Yeah, yeah.
While we're away on break, we'll be back to wrap up the show with our good friend Chef Patrick Hall from Lakes Region Community College. He's the program director there at Shaker Village in Canterbury. We'll be back with more cheese talk. It's 144 The Pulse WTPL. Hang on, coming right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
We are into the final few moments of Food for Thought. Thursday, tomorrow, we are back, of course, as we always are, noon till 2. My guest host is filling in for Carol tomorrow, Michael Hopley Pierce, who is our beer guy. But it won't be just about beer, although I have to confess our Comedy Cold Cuts segment, hilarious. Found some great comedians doing routines on beer, and I knew that Michael would enjoy that. So he'll be here for that, and we'll have a good time live out on the street. On the sidewalks in front of the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. So come on by if you're, you know, having lunch downtown or just kind of sauntering along. We'll be there. And you'll see two guys wearing headphones talking to themselves. You say, that's odd. What are they doing? Well, they're doing a radio show. Chef Patrick Hall is here for the next few moments.
Does he bring samples with him?
Well, he has offered to.
Yeah, that's my other thing is beer making.
He is. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been doing it for years. So, and it's funny that we're talking about the cheese because a lot of your supplies you get for like the cheese presses, you can get your beer making supplies.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that about you. I guess I shouldn't be surprised because all things chemistry. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's we do it with a group. We're called the usual suspects in my neighborhood. So there's about four of us that got together, and we get together, and our wives won't let us do it inside, so we'll take a turkey fryer outside and boil off our but we started doing it with our whole grain whole grain rather than use like canned malt and stuff now, and I can buy a bag of whole grain for $35, and it brings the cost of your beer for really good beer down to like 25 cents a bottle.
Wow.
You know, of course we don't want to bottle it anymore, so we put it in little pony kegs, and we have a refrigerator, and we draw it out there, you know. So,
you know, I didn't know that. Well, you need to come a little earlier some Thursday and meet Michael if you haven't.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you have met him, but he does a really great podcast.
for people that hopheads, as they call
yep,
them.
Hop
and
heads,
he's yeah. really gotten quite a following yeah, around the country.
It's funny because we go to the Boston Beer Festival mm-hmm. Every year and put on by Beer Advocate. And it's, you know, it's funny, you get little 2 ounce cups.
Yes.
And you go around and all the beers that are there are like 14% alcohol, you know, it's like, because yeah. that's where you get the flavor from, you know? So, yes. We go around there and it's funny who you end up, you know, having beers with. We were with Jim Cook 1 year. I got a picture
really?
On my phone. Yeah.
The Jim Sam Cook. Adams yeah. Creator.
Yep. So we were all sitting there talking to him.
So he was there just as a customer or was he back?
Well, for
was
both. Behind? For yeah. both. Yeah. I mean, he goes and he stops there because obviously got Sam Adams. They had yeah. Utopias. Have you ever had Utopias?
I have
beer?
Not.
Utopias is one of their specialty beers that they only make a limited amount of. And it's usually about 26%. It's literally like taking, it's
good
like,
Lord.
It's like drinking brandy. Yeah. It's,
wow.
It's only $300 a bottle. So,
so would you get like a little 2 ounce pour for like $50?
Yeah, they were giving them out, but
giving them out.
Yeah. At the beer fest, which was a huge treat, you know, cause you had, you know, these great beers and then you got, yeah. you know, they got every from all over, you know, from everywhere. And, it's great. You get to sample all these beers mm-hmm. and all these new things coming out, but it's quite an event. We go to Boston, we get a room for the night and, you know,
that was my next question. So
oh, yeah.
you answered that.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually you walk around with like a pretzel necklace, you know, so you're yeah. you walk around. We do bacon and pretzel, so you know, we'll walk around,
yeah.
we sample our beers, whatever.
When do they do this? When
was
this
we did this one was it's St. Patrick's Day, the same week as St. Patrick's
Day.
Oh,
is it outdoors?
No, it's inside.
Inside.
So they did it at the convention center
okay,
over
okay.
at the Seaport down in South
Boston.
Oh, right,
the World Trade Center.
Yeah, the World
okay.
Trade Center. And yeah. They did it there last year. And there's usually people, like other vendors, local mm-hmm. vendors with like grilled cheese makers and waffle makers and all that
I
sort
need
of
to
stuff.
Check that out next year.
Yeah, I'll, you know, I said when we're going, I'll let you know.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Summerfest
is coming Saturday.
Yeah, I heard
which
about
is
that.
The, which is basically the state version of what you're describing.
Yeah, yeah.
With a chicken wing competition. Not how much can you eat, but very restaurants providing wow. their samples. So
yeah.
and they're providing as I'm going to guess that the Boston thing does transportation for a price to get people, you know, back safely to where they need to be.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Well, the one in Boston is usually pretty much you just hail a cab, you know, so we try
sure,
to,
yeah.
we just try to find a,
exactly.
a hotel that's local and close and
fun
and whatnot. So yeah.
Well,
so.
We've been talking about cheese. Chef brought along cheese that his students made at Lakes Region Community College as part of their curriculum. You warned me ahead of time that you thought perhaps they forgot to salt it.
Yep.
I didn't find that really too distracting, quite honestly.
It's not, you know, but it just adds that flavor
yes,
to it.
Gives
and
it
I personally would probably let it go for a while just to age it more so you can taste a little bit of that age on
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah,
so.
But I love the flavor. I love the texture. And I'm just envisioning this in mac and cheese because I live to make, you know, from scratch mac and cheese. And so I'm essentially trying to commission Chef to come up with about, if he can, 5 pounds of this
yeah,
cheddar
easy.
By January because and
yeah.
that gives us, what, about only 5 months?
Yeah.
6
yeah.
months, actually.
It will, and, you know, the cheese, what we'll do is it'll give you the good, you know, local consistency that you want. You
yes.
probably won't be as sharp as you're going to want it, so you're
right.
probably going to want to blend some other local cheese
yes.
with it if you want to find that. But these, the cheddars, but yeah, we could definitely do that for you.
All right, so we need to get that going. Now, a lot of people will have cheese that comes off a wheel, as most of it does at some point. Can I eat the rind is what they always ask
yes.
me.
Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What's it made? Well, I know it's different. Sometimes it's wax. So.
Well, the rind, the wax, you don't eat. But
right.
generally, when you dry this cheese, like I said, you dry mm-hmm. The reason why you dry it for like 24 hours and put it on a board is so that you create that rind that goes around it. So it's nothing but cheese. So it's just
okay.
dried. You know, some of the dried cheese with it, too. So, but and then a lot of times, too, you notice some of the stuff that was inside my little bag here with mm-hmm. my little elixirs and schematics and things like mm-hmm. that for making cheese. There's one of them that's in here that's a different color that you noticed is actually it's a coloring. So what it's called is it's annatto from annatto seeds, and annatto seeds are from a chili pepper. So we take that yellow. So when you eat yellow mm-hmm. cheese, that's
yes.
how they make it yellow. That cheddar. So
I was going to ask,
yeah.
you know, where does the, why are some cheddars yellow and
yep.
some more of an orange color?
Nope. Yep. Like I said, natural cheddar cheese or natural cheese is always.
But it's not food
white.
Coloring. It's from these seeds.
Yeah. It's not a food coloring. Yeah. It's right. from a seed and not mm-hmm. a seed. So it doesn't have any flavor to it.
Right.
But it does add that color to it. And you can see that some of that.
He's got this
there.
Bag of little plastic bottles
yeah.
that like squeeze bottles that, the wizard has for his cheesemaking business.
I got this, you know, I got all this, the supplies, because where I grew up in Western Mass, there's a cheesemaking, New England Cheesemaking Supply Company. And they have all the molds, they have everything if you wanted to get started. And it's literally, I would say, probably about an hour and a half from here. So.
Sure. Well, our time has come and gone quickly, Chef.
Yeah.
Carol Lawrence will be away on a number of Thursdays and Fridays, so Chef Patrick Hall will join me as co-host on a number of those days.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, we know that you got the chops for it.
There we go.
And you know what?
I made it.
You bring food. That's right. So we will see you at the latest next Thursday for your regular segment. We'll get you worked in as a bigger part of the show while she's away.
Perfect. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the cheese.
Thank you.
All right. Back tomorrow. It's Comedy Cold Cuts and Michael Hopley-Pierce joining us. Co-host Carol Lawrence is away. This is the Pulse 107.7 WTPL and Food for Thought. Have yourselves a great day. See you tomorrow.